That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to 49ers After Dark. I'm Grant Cohn. That's Jesse Naylor. Draft is tomorrow. News is breaking all over the place. We know about Brandon Ayuk. That one's heating up. But in addition to Brandon Ayuk getting thrown around in trade talks, Deebo Samuel, breaking news. Deebo Samuel. Also being included in trade talks, and so far he's worth a mid rounder, which sounds like a third or a fourth round pick. What do you think of this news that Deebo Samuel has been included in some potential trade talks?
Yeah, it's not surprising, Grant, because what was the thing that came out yesterday from Silver that he heard from his boss? The way it was phrased was he had heard from his bosses that he is not going anywhere. Well, I don't know. You tell me, but I'm pretty sure that GMs and coaches don't just call every player before the draft and let them know, hey, just so you know, you're not going to get traded. You're going to be here. That's not the way that it works. The only way that that conversation would happen is if Deebo asked the question. And why would Deebo ask the question? Well, probably because he knows he's being shopped or has been shopped. So, what that tells me is Deebo's very aware of his situation. That also tells me that Deebo Samuel is likely not on this team after this year. That is something that we have speculated about. We assumed, especially if BA gets extended, that Deebo would not be here. But I think ultimately the fact that he has been shopped this offseason, and it makes sense that that is the case based off the Silver article, he knows that the writing is on the wall. This is the final year for Deebo, unless something drastic changes in the next year, which it certainly could. That's a lot of time, but Debo's probably on his way out.
Yeah, it's like if they're not going to trade him this offseason, but they very well could next year. I think this is kind of like maybe a cautionary example with Brandon Ayuk, not to take it there right away, but like when they extended Deebo Samuel, it was very much because they're in a Super Bowl window and you couldn't get worse. You had to keep him around. Had he had one dominant year, really? Yes. And you paid him as if he'd had more? Yes. And then 2 years down the line, you want to trade him? And what's he worth? A third rounder tops? When 2 years ago, before you gave him the extension, he was worth probably a top 20 pick. So, okay, you didn't win a Super Bowl. And now you're thinking, it kind of would be nice to trade him, but it's a little too late. Same thing had happened with Brandon Ayuk. 2 years, he'll be 28. If he hasn't replicated this season where he had 1,400 yards or close to it, and now he's making $30 million a year, and it's like, you know what? That's a little bit too much for us. Let's trade him. Like, everyone else is going to say it's a little bit too much for us, too. We'll give you a fourth. So just keep that in mind.
Well, and I think the Deebo Samuel thing, what was interesting to me is I was looking at all the contracts that they could rework this offseason to free up money, and really none of them were great options. It's why I was frustrated last year when they did this with Eric Armstead. And of course, they move on from Eric Armstead a year early, which he would have been a full-fledged free agent if they hadn't reworked his deal last year. They could have just been scot-free, but they did rework his deal and it put him in a bad situation where now they're going to owe $15.5 million next year for him not to play on the team. Well, when you look at Deebo Samuel's contract, he was the one that was kind of the edge for me where it was like, you could rework Debo's deal. You probably should because he's making so much money, but You have an out next year when you trade him or cut him or what have you. Well, if you do rework his deal, restructure it, then you're not going to have that out. The fact that they haven't done that this offseason as of yet kind of set the wheels in motion that, hey, Debo's likely not going to be here. You add in the fact that you most likely can't pay BA, Ayuk, Purdy, everybody. It starts to make a lot of sense. And again, Debo Samuel is the one that's seeking this question out. This is not something that Lynch is going to go to him and say, hey, just so you know, you're not getting traded. He's going to ask that question. That's how he knows the answer to the question. And why would you ask the question if you didn't think you were on the trade block? He knows he's on the trade block or was on the trade block. So he asked.
Also, he's the one who requested a trade. He's the one who didn't really want to be on this team. So they could give him his trade request just 2 years later. Remember, you asked for this.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, too, that you have to wonder about is he's such good friends with Kyle Shanahan. Like, do you think Shanahan was just honest with him? Like, hey, just so you know, we're shopping you. Like, do they have that type of relationship? Maybe. Maybe they do. I don't know. But also, cautionary tale. Maybe you shouldn't be friends with your players, and players, you shouldn't be friends with your head coach, because ultimately business have to happen. Yeah.
It's sobering that he's only worth a mid-round pick, but we shouldn't be surprised. He's 28. He's going to be 29 next season. He really wasn't great in the playoffs, particularly in the Super Bowl. He's a wide receiver who can't beat man-to-man coverage and doesn't have a big catch radius and drops a lot of passes and isn't as fast as he used to be. Like, is it really running go routes? But he can do a lot. He's like the best guy after the catch in the league. Still, he's a terrible contract. One of the worst contracts in the league, I have to say.
Yeah, it's definitely not very good. It's not very good. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's should be a sobering reminder to 49er fans as well that, you know, not only do you have to start looking at the 39 unrestricted free agents next year, but Debo Samuel, aging inexpensive. Trent Williams, aging inexpensive. George Kittle, aging inexpensive. Hargrave, aging inexpensive. It's not just the 39 unrestricted free agents. It's all these other players that might be on the move as well. So this team's going to look very, very different come next season. It really is.
Also, the wide receiver market is so interesting to me because on the one hand, you have the guys in their prime, 26, when it comes to getting an extension, just getting crazy money. One after another, it's record-setting. So the market has exploded as if there's like a shortage of supply. But in the draft every year, there's like seven or eight guys who, I mean, deep into the second round, it looks like there's really good talent. So it seems like if it's that expensive to have an elite wide receiver, shouldn't you want to have guys on rookie deals, like as many as possible? And do you really want two elite of these guys? How much they're making? I mean, it's going to be like $60 million combined.
Well, one thing you can look at across the league. I mean, you've got Kansas City was just won back-to-back Super Bowls. It wasn't in. They had a decision to make 2 years ago with Tyreek, still in his prime. They traded him to South Beach. They went back to two Super Bowls. The Packers, they got rid of Devontae Adams probably a year earlier than most people would expect. Devontae's still producing. Doesn't matter. Packers are right back. They're ready to compete again. So, you know, when you get rid of these big name receivers, as long as you do a good job drafting, you're going to be okay. And both of those teams draft very well. And so that's why they're in a position where they can continue to compete. The question is, if you get rid of Brandon Ayuk, are the 49ers, especially in round one, they've done a good job drafting overall, but in round one, can they make that mark? I don't know. I don't know that they can. It's been very hit and miss thus far.
And before we move on from this one, again, the reason the Niners decided to give Debo Samuel almost $24 million is they felt that while they didn't give him, you know, 150 targets a year, that he was going to be a big part of the run game too. And when you added it all together, it was going to be worth $24 million a year. And it's not, because he's not that kind of running back. They went and got McCaffrey. He's not really involved in the run game that much anymore. He doesn't block. He's just not worth it. So keep that in mind, Brandon Ayuk. Are you sure you can get the most out of his contract? when you bring him back, because you know what the price tag is. You see it.
Well, I know we're going to transition to Brandon Ayuk, and we can use this
right now.
Parlay over there. But so Deebo Samuel, you brought up an interesting point. Deebo Samuel was, I think at that time, it was the Jets were offering the 10th pick. They wanted Deebo, and they wanted like the second round pick from the 49ers, something like that. It was like pick 60 or whatever it was at that time. The 49ers said no. 2 years later, hindsight's 2020. Do you think the 49ers should have made that deal? Because I certainly do.
Yes. Yes, in hindsight, yes. I mean, keeping him didn't lead to a Super Bowl victory, and he never replicated the one season that they pretty much paid him for. So, yeah, they should have made that trade. Sell high. And again, if you traded Ayuk now, you'd be, I think, selling high. He might have a better season in the future, but he'll be much more expensive. You have to sell that contract. You have to trade that contract, too.
Well, that's the question, right? So, Brandon Ayuk, in 2 years, let's say they get whatever they get offered this year. We don't know for sure, but eventually something will come out. Like, let's assume they don't trade him, but we'll know roughly what it was worth. Something will be said at some point. Do you think in 2 years we'll be having a similar conversation where it's like, ah, remember when they offered this for Brandon Ayuk?
Remember when the Niners could have had like the 17th pick for Brandon Ayuk, and now you'd be lucky to get a third?
So are we going to be in the same situation? That's the question. I don't know.
I think so, because like he's not going to magically suddenly get 150 targets in a season. He's not going to get the usage that Puka Nacua gets on the Rams, or that Amon-Ra St. Brown gets on the Lions. I'd be shocked if that happens. They would have to fundamentally change as an offense. So for him to get 1,300 yards, he's going to have to average more than 17 yards a catch again and catch more than 70% of his targets again. That's a bit of an outlier season. He didn't do that. He got more targets in 2022, and he barely got over 1,000 yards. So it's possible this was an outlier season, a contract season, where he just, I mean, we've seen guys do it all. Deebo did it. Deebo averaged 18 yards a catch in his contract season. It's crazy. And he never did it again.
Well, that's the thing is, this has kind of been my pushback as to why you shouldn't trade Brandon Ayuk, is that you're paying for what's to come. You're not paying for what's already happened. With Deebo Samuel, I don't care what you pictured for him in the future. That season he had before he got paid was going to be the best season of his career. It was not going to get better than that. That was such an all-time season that he had. It wasn't going to get better. Brandon Ayuk, I could make the argument that the next three seasons might be better than the one that he just had. But to your point, if you're not utilizing him, or if you can get a lot for him and replace him in this draft with a guy who ends up being good, then, you know, great. And if you do keep him, you could be looking back in 2 years saying, golly, man, they could have had X pick. They should have done it, and they didn't do it. I don't know. This one's really tough for me. I really am back and forth on it. I could see a scenario where the fifth year option is the best deal for him. I don't know.
I feel like it's interesting because with Deebo, it wasn't a question of how much they use him. Like, they maximized his skill set in a way that most teams, no other team could. But the issue was, how good was he really?
Yeah.
You know, he had one great year. And now we see, like, well, he can't be man-to-man coverage. He's not a real running back. Like, how good is Deebo really? He had every opportunity to win the Super Bowl for the 49ers and couldn't do it. Trent McDuffie shut him down. The question with Ayuk isn't how good is he. You good? Sorry.
Yeah, I was adjusting.
The question with Ayuk isn't how good is he. It's how much do the Niners use him enough to justify paying him $30 million? That's the question. And they don't. Will they in the future? I'd be surprised.
I mean, I would think they would. I don't know that they're going to use him like that, but I think they're going to use him more. I think they would certainly, because Deebo's, we just talked about it. If Deebo's not on this team, if Kittle's not on this team, CMC, I mean, eventually, yeah, you would hope that they get new weapons and you start to use them, but man, Ayuk presumably would be your best weapon on the team, no question at that point. So why wouldn't you use him more? But is it enough to justify that number? I don't know. I don't know.
Because, well, one, you run the ball a lot. Two, you don't pass very much. And three, it seems like Kyle likes to have five great eligible receivers. Like, he's not content with one or two. He wants to spend money at running back and tight end. And I don't know. If you were to tell me that
the 49ers would start giving Brandon Ayuk 150, 160 targets a season, then yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Keep him. That makes sense. But otherwise, like, what are you paying for? You can't, it's not enough. You got to use him more. You have to use him more. And look, like, if they were going to do that, they would have did it in the playoffs. That's what I keep coming back to. Like, they had every opportunity to feature Brandon Ayuk on that playoff run 2 months ago and didn't do it. And frankly, he didn't give him any reason to. He caught 9 of his 20 targets in the playoffs. I wonder what Kyle Shanahan really thinks of Ayuk. I wonder if Kyle was being completely honest in private setting, if he would say, you know, I think Ayuk's great. He's maximized his skill set, but I've coached better wide receivers. He's not Andre Johnson. He's not Julio Jones. Thinks he is, but he's not. And frankly, with the season on the line, I'd go to Debo. He did that. That was 2 months ago.
He did go to Debo, and that didn't work out too well.
No, it didn't.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
I'd love to know Kyle's explanation for that, dude.
Well, and they wouldn't have been in the Super Bowl without Ayuk. That catch that Ayuk made, that saved the season. I was in that stadium.
It was one of the more incredible catches I've ever seen.
You know the momentum. It's interesting, right? Because, and I'm sure it came across on television as well, but you can feel momentum in a stadium. When Dan Campbell decided not to kick that field goal and then Ayuk made that catch, the momentum had completely shifted. The 49ers were going to win that game. You felt it. You knew it was going to happen.
Yep.
If that catch isn't made, they're not there. And so it is interesting because you look at Ayuk and you say, well, you know, maybe his highs haven't been as high as Debo, but he has had his moments where he's been very important. And we know that he was cooking in the Super Bowl. Hell, if you go look at the film from 2 years ago in the NFC Championship against the Rams, he was open every single. If they would have just force fed him the ball, he could have had 200 plus yards and they might have won that game. So he has that in his bag. They just, I don't know, man. Kyle's not a matchup type of guy. It's very interesting. He rides a hot hand. He doesn't necessarily, he looks at it and says, okay, this is my hot hand. I'm going to ride it regardless of the matchup instead of saying, hey, here's the weakness. Let me exploit that over and over and over until they stop it. Then I'll start going elsewhere. It's just not the way he's ever coached. He doesn't just attack one thing repeatedly because that's the weakness on the team. If there's a backup corner, he's not going to go at him repeatedly. That's just the way he's never been.
There are clips of Ayuk getting open and not getting the ball. It's crazy, though. In that NFC Championship game, that was a great catch. He had 3 catches on 8 targets. He just, I mean, in a lot of his opportunities, he didn't catch the ball. I mean, I guess if you went through all of the targets, maybe not all of them were his fault, but still, like, the connection between Purdy and Ayuk wasn't that fruitful when the games were, like, really mattered, with the exception of one. An extremely lucky play. It hit the guy in the face.
It did. No, it was very lucky. Yes, it was very
lucky. I mean, Ayuk made the most of it. That was really cool. But it had to hit a guy in the face before anything could even happen. That should have been an interception. The Niners should have lost that game, frankly. Where else? I got excited.
In the face.
In the face. Yeah, what's crazy? I was looking at the playoff stats today. It's crazy to think that Jennings actually had more catches than Ayuk in the playoffs. Jennings really raised his game. Ayuk and Debo didn't. And that's really scary when you're talking about guys who are making quarterback money. Like, oh, you had 3 catches today? Well, you make too much money to have a 3 catch day, buddy. You got to catch 8. Puka Nacua had 9 catches in his playoff day. He's 22 years old. And everyone here thinks Brandon Ayuk's better than Puka Nacua. Okay. Maybe. We'll see. He's older.
I think it's early to tell that. I mean, Puka was a rookie. But, okay, the question really at hand, though, is this St. Brown deal. What does it mean for Ayuk? First of all, let's start there. Who do you think's a better wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown or Brandon Ayuk?
Again, this isn't a question of how good Ayuk is, right? We talked about that with Deebo.
No, it's not. But this thing does matter.
I would say is Ayuk. I would say Ayuk, I think, is better than Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Okay. I would disagree. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's better than Ayuk.
Okay.
But let's say it's splitting hairs. Okay. Let's say, you know, they're close. They're close. Yeah. Well, DeVonta Smith. So now we start to figure out what he's roughly worth. DeVonta Smith got 25. Amon-Ra St. Brown got 30. But really, it's 28. If you look at the deal and the way it's worked, it's 28 a year for 3 years is what he's getting. So that's still a big number, right? Because Ayuk was presumably at 27. Like, no matter what the number was, this helped Ayuk, and it doesn't help the 49ers. This deal helps him. And Ayuk was on his Instagram dancing after the deal. He, you know, he didn't say it was because of that deal, but you know what he meant. Like, hey, I'm getting paid. I know I'm getting paid. That's the wide receiver market. So even if St. Brown is a little bit better, it's not that much better to where Ayuk's going to get Devontae Smith money. I mean, he's somewhere in between the two. So you got to imagine 27. And if the 49ers aren't willing to pay that, you're going to be at a standstill. And so this certainly helped Brandon Ayuk today. It did not help the 49ers at all.
Yeah, I mean, Amon Ross St. Brown had better numbers than Ayuk this year. He's a little younger, and he was a first-team All-Pro as opposed to a second-team All-Pro. So maybe he can ask for a little bit more money. He didn't get that much total, fully guaranteed either. About $35 million, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Total 70, 35 fully. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe he's not as expensive as we think, but he did get that $30 million per year annual average value. And I think players want, that's why they have those extra void years at the end, because it matters for their ego. I mean, we all have one. So I just feel like it comes down to principle with Brandon Ayuk. If he wants $30 million too, if he feels that he's better than Amon Ross St. Brown, and I'm sure he thinks he is, and that's what he wants, would the Niners do it to make him happy? Or would they say, no, we on principle, we won't have a wide receiver making that much money? I mean, I felt like that's what it came down to with Buckner. It was 4 or 5 years ago, and back then, paying a defensive tackle $20 million a year seemed outrageous. Only Aaron Donald really should be worth that. And he wanted it too. He felt he was in that category, and the Niners said, no, we'll pay you 18 plus, but not 20. And it came down to that, and he found his money elsewhere. I think Ayuk could find his money. I mean, if Amon Ross St. Brown can find that, I think a team like, or how about this? If the most Ayuk can find is 27, 28, but he can get the same offer from Jacksonville, wouldn't he rather go to Jacksonville? I mean, didn't Eric Armstead teach him well? Tax-free.
Tax-free. Yeah, it's tax-free, a lot. Baby. It's a lot more money there. It is a lot more money there.
He'd have his friend. They're home. They're friends. Why not? You got a teammate, former teammate, Adam. No, he's not. Trent Baalke, well, I don't really know him. Still, you got Eric Armstead. Two Niners. Just saying.
You got a quarterback that can get you the ball, you know, regardless of what you think about Lawrence. I think he's underperformed. I don't think there's a question about that, but I mean, he can sling the rock, so he can get you the ball. You know, you can produce over there. So, yeah, man, somebody's willing to pay Ayuk. Somebody is certainly willing to give Ayuk that money. I think multiple teams will. The problem is you don't just get to pay Ayuk in the open market. Here's the other thing the 49ers have to consider. If this thing continues to linger, John Lynch talked about at the press conference how they've started to learn their lesson and they would love to get deals done early. Well, deals aren't getting done early. And you can't say that it comes down to every player is the reason the deals aren't getting done early. There's something you're doing that is preventing these deals from getting done early. And here we are yet again.
Yeah.
Another good receiver around the level of Ayuk getting a big payday, which is raising his money. What if they wait another 2 months and Ja'Marr Chase gets paid and Justin Jefferson gets paid? Then what? You know, those guys are going to get, if Amon Ra's getting 30, they're going to get 32, 33. Like, that only continues to help Ayuk's case. I don't know, man. Yeah. This could get crazy.
Yeah. And it's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, because these are the best teams in the NFC, Detroit, the Niners, Philly. And when Philly gave Devontae Smith that extension, $25 million a year, I think it was, a week ago? 2 weeks ago? Was it a week ago?
Yeah, about a week ago.
About a week ago. People were like, what are they thinking? That's a ton of money. But now, it's today, looking back, it looks smart. Like, boy, they got ahead of that one. It could have been worse. They got a pretty good deal, actually. And now, you're looking at the Niners like, what exactly are you hoping to gain by waiting? What do you know that Detroit and Philly don't? Because it looks like they're trying to get out in front of a just disgusting wide receiver market.
The other thing is Devontae Smith was a first-round pick, and they're paying him after 3 seasons. They didn't even wait till year 4.
Great point. Great point. And it's the exact opposite philosophy. Yeah. Why wait? Get ahead of it. His value's only, the market's only going to get worse, and his value's only going to go up. What are we waiting for?
Yeah, I mean, if you had paid him right after the Devonta Smith deal, and let's say that you could meet at $26 million, and then the salary cap goes up $30 million next year, $26 million is nothing, especially after now you see Amon-Ra St. Brown, you'll see Jefferson, you'll see Higgins eventually get a deal, Jamar Chase, all these guys, they're all going to get paid a ton of money. Not that big. It's not that big of a contract, but the longer you wait, the worse it is. So, yeah. I don't know. This is this is why I say the fifth year option might be the best for the 49ers, but you run the risk. You run the
risk. I want to talk about that. Thank you for bringing that up. I want to talk about the fifth year option. Financially, you could argue why it's a good play for the team. Practically, pragmatically, why would you want a malcontent in your locker room? Someone that important, that upset. I mean, you think he'll keep to himself about that stuff, or do you think that bleeds into the rest of the team? Like, I don't know why you'd want that as a coach on your team. You want people who on your team who want to be on your team, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're setting a tone though too, and whether this is the other thing. Okay, let's say that they trade Brandon Ayuk or they decide to do the fifth year option thing. Well, the two players that you've essentially decided not to pay, Buckner, is about as much of a model player as you would want. Like if I'm a new leader to an organization, I'm trying to build a foundation of people that are my guys that set a tone that I can go to and say, hey, when I'm not around, you're my ears. Make sure you keep everybody straight. You're my leaders. You do things, everybody else will fall in line. Well, you look at Buckner and you look at Ayuk, they're model citizens when it comes to that. Then you look at guys like Debo. Regardless, I don't know what it's like in the building. I can tell you what the perception outside the building is. The perception is you kind of lollygag when you're not getting the ball. You're not a willing blocker, not near as much as Ayuk and Jennings. You come in overweight off of camp. Those are the perception things. So now you're setting a tone to these younger players that this is okay to do. When it's time to get paid, this is how you act. Versus, hey, let's pay these guys, Buckner, Ayuk. They're the model citizens. Everybody else falls in line. You're starting to set a tone and paying certain guys and rewarding certain guys that may not fit the description that you necessarily want as a leader in an organization. That's something to think about too.
That's true. I just feel like the difference between Buckner and Ayuk, with Buckner, there was like, I still didn't understand the reason. It was like, is he good enough? Yes. Does he produce? Yes. Do you use him enough? Yeah, he's always in the field. Does he miss games? No. Like with Ayuk, it's clear what the issue is. Do you use him enough? No. Will you one day? I don't know. I'd like to hear Kyle say it out of his own mouth on the record. But until that happens, no. You'd be better off trading him for an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman or something the Niners actually do use. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you put him on the Rams right now, and you took Puka Nacua off, and you said, take all of his targets. Yeah, man, he'd be great. He'd be worth it. But the Niners aren't that kind of a team. They're a run-first team, play action second, drop-back third. If they want to become more of a drop-back passing team, they better improve their offensive line, get a right tackle who's really good, and throw more. They have the quarterback to do it, I think. He doesn't have a strong arm, but he's really good. And they tried to pass the ball. They've passed it 37 times in the Super Bowl, plus scrambles. They tried. Didn't work so great, but I don't know. Maybe they want to. Maybe that's the next evolution of the offense, just passing.
Yeah, which is fine. But even then, with Christian McCaffrey is the running back, and he's getting more targets than all these guys.
Ridiculous. That needs to stop. Yeah. I was thinking this morning, you could trade Ayuk. You could trade Debo. Really, like, the same offseason. They won't. You'd still have Kittle, Jennings, McCaffrey. If you had Kittle actually getting 140, 150 targets a season like Kelsey, and Jennings getting 80 to 100, and McCaffrey getting 50, 60. It's really good. And then a couple young wide receivers who are first, second round picks on rookie deals. Boy, it's pretty good. The Niners could be them in a year.
2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you trade those guys and you land, I don't know, A.D. Mitchell and Javon Baker.
Bingo.
One of them's probably going to hit.
Bingo. So why, I never understood why the Niners don't give the ball to Kittle more. I mean, he's never really fallen off. He's as good as he's ever been. He gets hurt sometimes, but he's actually been a little bit more durable than Debo the last few years. If he were on the Chiefs instead of Kelsey, he would just get so many more opportunities.
He would be force-fed the ball.
I don't understand that one. I think Kittle and Jennings proved it in so many big games. He's good. I think he's really good. Call him just a slot receiver, but...
I look at Jennings as more of like a Robert Horry or a Derek Fisher. Good player, right? Never will be the guy or even your second guy, but if you need a clutch moment, he'll give you a clutch moment. You need a clutch three? You need a game winner? D. Fish has got you. Robert Horry's got you, right? They're winners. You need those types of guys to win championships. I don't know if you necessarily want them to be your second receiver, though, you know?
I don't know, man. I think he has such a nice connection with Purdy. He's like such a perfect wide receiver for Purdy because Purdy's going to be throwing passes over the middle, and he's a guy he can trust. And Jennings is 6'3". He can go up and get it. He's not scared at all. I mean, he has the biggest catch radius you can imagine. It's a really good combination with Purdy. Ayuk can do that stuff too, but he's not as big, and he has all this downfield game that Purdy can't really take advantage of fully the way Trevor Lawrence could. I don't know. I like Juwan Jennings. They better not get rid of him. He's so good. Yeah.
He'll be here at least through this year.
We'll see. The Super Bowl was legendary.
It was.
I'll never.
He would have been the
credit for that. And to your Derek Fisher, Robert Horry point. I think maybe I'm weighing it a little bit too much because they did it in the championship.
Yeah, of course. But he's clutch. I mean, what more do you want? He's clutch.
I'm not afraid of the big stage. My goodness, That guy is a serious competitor. I feel like we're just getting to know Juwan Jennings. His best football's ahead of him, I think.
He manifested it. Remember, wasn't he talking about it all week? His visualization
of the people on the Niners who were most serious in that game. My God, ultimate respect for Juwan Jennings after that game. I really got to say, because it wasn't McCaffrey, it wasn't Trent Williams, it wasn't Debo, it wasn't Ayuk, it wasn't Kittle. It was Juwan and Brock, and with the game on the line, Brock was repeatedly looking at Juwan. Maybe should have been looking at Ayuk because he was open. But that's where he was comfortable. All right.
Yeah, you're right.
Game on the line tonight. Who we picking? Who we picking?
See what we got. Who's playing?
Pelicans in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Today. I think that game might have started already, though. No. What do you think? Should we pick some?
6:30 p.m. Yeah. Let's go. Ingram.
Okay.
We got to go more on points. It's got to go more.
Yeah. Oh, they're also going to lose.
McCollum? Yeah. CJ is such a. I mean, I watched CJ for many, 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 many years. Many years.
7 and two games ago and 9.
CJ. Let's go 32. Less on the 3-pointers made. 3.5. So 4 3-pointers is a lot. So I'm going to go.
Yeah,
less.
It is.
Under
it is. That's whatever. A good call. That's a savvy call.
You gotta be a
savvy call.
It's like I win every week or something, you would think.
Pretty much. Let me see what I got. Still 2. I still got 2 wins, but that's pretty good. Okay. Holmgren? I don't like the double-double.
Yeah, that's tough.
Rebounds?
What other games? Is there another game?
Thursday.
The last game. That's the last game tonight, huh?
Yeah.
No, I want to know tonight if we won.
Yeah, we need to know because we talk about this.
Yeah. Let's go.
Assists, 1.5. Does he pass the ball? Can he get 2 assists?
Seems pretty obvious, right? Yeah, we have
to. I think he can get 2 assists.
That's too juicy. Yeah, let's go more.
I like that one. And just to be... What is Anthony Davis doing here? Who asked you? He's not on the Pelicans anymore.
Oh, wait. 7 p.m. 7 p.m. though. Is that today?
I don't know.
It's not today. Is it?
It says 6:30. I'm confused.
That's for the I think tomorrow that's for Anthony Davis, right?
Oh, perhaps.
There we go.
There it is. Sorry, I'm confused. Most of the time. Valanciunas, 11 and a half rebounds. What do you think? Hit 20 in the last game.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go less. I had Anthony Davis. I was in Vegas, and Davis had come off like a 20-something rebound game in the playoffs. I think it was last year. And I was like, oh, yeah. The number was like 9.5. No-brainer. Put him in my parlay, and he ruined my parlay. So this is me being scorned. So I'm going to go less just because.
That's free game from Jesse right there. Sleeper is a great app. If you want to play, download the app. Use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N, and get a deposit match up to $500 on your first deposit. Okay. Back to the Ayuk trade discussion. More people seem to be predicting the same thing. Like, I've been floating all week, like, hey, don't be surprised if the Niners trade with the Jaguars for pick 17. Then Benjamin Albright, who is a great friend of mine, said the same thing in his mock draft, which is crazy. Great minds think alike. So, first of all, how likely do you think it is that Ike is traded to Jacksonville? And then I got a question after that. Like, first of all, I want to know how likely you think it is.
To Jacksonville specifically?
17.
I don't know.
They've been reported.
10% maybe?
10%. Okay. If that 10% happens and they do trade up, which player do you think they would take?
I think it'd have to be for an offensive lineman.
I would think so.
Here's the problem. Yeah, here's the problem. If you trade up and you draft a receiver, I don't know, whoever's available, it doesn't matter, and that receiver doesn't pan out, that's bad. That's bad for business. You go offensive lineman, that makes things a lot easier. And I think the talent at offensive lineman around pick 17 will be better than the talent at wide receiver. Because outside the top three, you could go anywhere. I mean, maybe Brian Thomas Jr. falls, but he's got some medical red flags now.
Yep.
A.D. Mitchell has his issues with his diabetes and some other things going on. So, you know, I don't know. Are the 49ers a team that sees those guys with the red flags? Not sure. But the offensive tackles that are going to presumably be there are going to be decent. And I would say the crop of two or so that are going to be there at 17 are going to be much better than the guys that might be at 31. So I would go there. And then I think that second batch of receivers, whether it's A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkley, McConkey, whoever it is, you know, three, four guys that are in that kind of mold, you can choose from those guys at 31 and be fine and probably get a guy. So I would say offensive tackle or offensive lineman in general.
Yeah, I would agree. It seems like if you trade Ayuk for that top 20 pick, then you have two first round picks. And I think a lot of people would like the Niners to take an offensive lineman and a wide receiver. If you trade Ayuk, you got to take a wide receiver at some point. But I feel like if you took the wide receiver at the top 20 pick, you'd get a good one. But then the offensive tackle you'd get later wouldn't be that. Like the combination of taking a wide receiver, an offensive tackle first, and a wide receiver second seems like a better combination of talent than the other way around. Because the wide receiver you can get in round at 31 or trading down in round two, a lot of time those guys are as good or better than the ones that go in round one. The wide receiver talent usually goes deep into round two. And I feel like that's always a great round to take a wide receiver anyway. So they could, I mean, Debo was a second round pick. Rashee Rice was a second round pick. And he just had, 1,000 yards as a rookie on a Super Bowl winning team. You can get really good players who are ready to go. George Pickens was a second round pick. Same.
Yeah, there's good receivers in round two. There's good receivers. I just agree with you. Yeah. Nice. Well played. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the crop of two or three tackles that are available there are much better, clearly better than the guys that are going to be there at 31, the two or three. And the difference between the receivers, the two or three that are going to be there at 17 versus the two or three that are going to be there at 31, I think that you can make an argument that maybe those guys that are going to be there at 31 are better than the guys at 17. I don't think you can make that argument for the offensive lineman. Again, presumably, we don't know how this draft's going to necessarily fall, but that's at least the way that I see it. That's the way I would look at it. And again, I also think it gets you off the hook of the comparison, the Javon Kinlaw comparison to Buckner. You don't want that situation again. That wasn't a good situation. So I wouldn't trade Ayuk and then go for wide receiver. But the question now becomes, okay, the 49ers, let's say they're not willing to go above 25. I don't know what the number is, but let's say they're not willing to go above 25. That's the hiccup. They don't want to pay Brandon Ayuk. Is a team really going to say, hey, you've had this guy in your building for 4 years. You don't want to give him $27 million. We'll give him $27 and we'll give you a first-round pick. I don't know that that's realistic at this point. I mean, that's a high mark to ask for. Now, maybe if you give Ayuk in a fourth rounder, maybe you can talk. I don't know. I feel like 17 is steep, steep, steep.
I mean, it's what the Titans got for A.J. Brown. They traded A.J. Brown for 18 and a fourth, and the Eagles gave him, you know, the extension that was $25 million at the time. It'd be about $27 million now. So that's why I think it could happen. I mean, it's also Trent Baalke, who's not good. And we know Trent Baalke. Like, I've looked at it since he's been a general manager, two different spots. He's taken a wide receiver before round four twice. AJ Jenkins and LaVisca Chenault. So he has no clue. And at this point, with his job on the line, he should not have it come down to his ability to pick a wide receiver in the draft. He's smart enough not to put himself in that position. Also, I think he feels he could take a corner at 17. He could just take but there's a lot of pressure to make the playoffs in Jacksonville and to make Trevor Lawrence look elite. And if he can't do both of those things, he could get fired. He's been there 4 years. And if you're under that kind of pressure, you could do something a little kooky, which is this. So I feel like Trent Baalke is absolutely the mark the Niners are looking for in this situation.
No, I don't disagree with you. And I think more importantly, you know, whether his job's on the line or not, which we assume it is, you got to know if Trevor Lawrence is a guy, your long-term quarterback. And the only way to find that out is by surrounding him with some weapons. You tried to do it. The guys that you got weren't the greatest. Ridley dropped passes all over the place. So go get him a sure-handed player, a guy that can get open, and see what he can do with it. And if he can't make it work with Brandon Ayuk there, then it's like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. We can't pay you. We're going to have to pivot. But you have to figure that out. So yeah, maybe they are the team.
One other team that could do it. Daniel Jeremiah brought him up today on Twitter. Okay. The Indianapolis Colts. They have picked 15. And here's why the Colts could do it. They were the ones that took Buckner off the Niners' hands. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the things you say about cornerstone player sets the culture. Chris Ballard values that. And he saw the Niners sort of haggling over a few million dollars with a cornerstone player and said, thank you, we'll take him. He might see another opportunity to do the same thing.
And they've got to figure out what Richardson is too. Right. He's going into year 2.
And they can
afford
to give Ayuk a ton of money, doesn't? Because they're not giving Richardson much.
Yeah, I mean they're paying Pittman. They just paid Pittman, but you give him Pittman and Ayuk. I mean, you're going to find out real quick what Richardson is or what he isn't.
So. There's options, and then there's a Washington on day. Let's say no team in the top 20 does it, and you get to day 2. Phone could still be open. I mean, Washington could offer both of their second round picks. And that's like the 15th pick in the draft if you add them up together.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think Washington would be the team, but I think the Patriots have 2 picks.
Okay.
And the Patriots have been awful, traditionally awful at picking receiver. If they do take a quarterback in round 1, especially if they trade back and get more picks and then take their quarterback, they really become a team that might go after Brandon Ayuk. You've got Bourne in the building. Bourne can tell you, hey, this guy's worth it. Go get him. You know he's good. Pay him. You got your rookie quarterback. Surround him with talent. You picked up extra picks by trading back a few spots already. I could see the Patriots possibly being that team.
Let's go back to Washington for a second. And I'm leaning on Tom Jensen a little bit, who emailed me this. It's going to be an excerpt from his upcoming article for our website. SI.com/NFL/49ers. He's looking at Washington. Now, what's interesting about Washington, they have Adam Peters, so he knows Brandon Ayuk really well. He's trying to set a new culture. Ayuk can help him do that.
They're probably going to draft. They could draft Jaden Daniels, and those two played at Arizona State together once upon a time. Teams like reuniting college wide receiver quarterback tandems. You saw that in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Don't know that he would get both second round picks, but maybe you get 40 and some other picks. I don't know. It just seems like something Adam Peters might be interested in.
You know what else Adam Peters might be interested in?
What?
Going to pick 30 and undercutting the 49ers for a player that he knows they probably like.
Ooh,
wouldn't that be like the most seething thing you could do?
Yeah, since he built their draft board.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could happen. Maybe. All the more reason to trade out of 31.
Yeah, exactly. If you can. Yeah, I agree. The tough thing is trading out of 31 is likely if there's a quarterback available. If there's not a quarterback, I don't know.
True. We got a ton of supers. Let's see if we can get through some of them or all of them. Dave Barclay, what up today, gentlemen? I was just watching Stats and Conan, got interrupted with this. Guess I'll go back and finish later. Ready for tomorrow. I'm worried they draft 5 running backs and 6 kickers. Prayers. What's up, Dave? Dave says, keep BA, trade Debo, please. Trade Kyle, fire Kyle.
Yeah, Debo's not going anywhere. I don't think they would make him that promise.
That's true. They promised. Dave Barclay says, okay, Jesse, but do you trust Niners to draft anything?
Outside of round one, yeah, I have a lot of trust.
Kyle's been pretty good drafting wide receivers in the top 40, 36.
Yeah,
2 for 2. Brother Really Kyle Bob says, not winning Super Bowl this year if we trade BA. Facts. If we are going to trade BA, we should just do a full rebuild now and not wait. Sorry, that's reality.
I was and for that. I've been on that for all offseason, that they should have started it this year instead of waiting, but we'll see.
The Chiefs traded a better wide receiver and immediately won back-to-back Super Bowls. Why? You don't have to have a number one. You still have Kittle. I feel like Kittle, all you got to do is up Kittle's targets from 90 a season to 140. That's 50 right there. What is he? Why can't he do that? Kelsey can do it. Kelsey's 35 and in a very passionate relationship. He can handle all of it. Kittle?
If you get a really good offensive lineman, you draft, let's say, 80 Mitchell at 31 and then go sign Boyd still because now you've got the money. Why couldn't you win?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Dave Barclay. Brother Bob is always right. Go tell your wife. That's true. He is always right. SS Pure Wall says, two of my favorite Niners content creators, keep up the speculations. Grant, another 5 on that MacBook. I don't think have I had any audio issues on the stream?
I don't think so.
I'm on a hot streak, and I think I figured it out, but I don't want to say it out loud. Dazza says, instead of wondering if BA is underutilized, how about they just use him more? Kittle and BA aren't used enough. Okay. Well, using them more would involve passing more, which would involve a better offensive line and a different coach.
That's a pretty big culture shift.
I mean, did they even throw the ball that much in Atlanta?
They ran the ball an awful lot. I mean, they had the two-headed monster there at running back, but yeah.
Dave Barclay says, Ayuk is worth 28, but you have to use him more. You do have to use him more. Dave Barclay, I love Ayuk. Him and Greenlaw are my favorite, but if Kyle isn't going to change his scheme, we could do exactly as you said, more targets for Kittle and JJ, and I bet our numbers are similar. Sucks, really. I mean, does it suck? If you're sentimentally tied to Ayuk, yeah, but it's a team. It's a business. And if Ayuk wants the best for him.
This is the other thing, and listen, I don't think Ayuk's going to get traded. I don't want them to trade IU, but you have to look at this from both sides. You can't complain that they need to protect Purdy, and then if they trade IU to protect Purdy, be mad. You can't. You're not always going to be able to have both. You just can't do it. So at some point, you have to make the decision. If you pay IU, chances are your chances of protecting Purdy go down. But if you trade IU, your chances of protecting Purdy properly go up. So it's like, you know, you got to kind of make a decision at some point. Maybe protecting Purdy does help this offense.
Yeah, man. I mean, Ayuk's great.
Tyreek Hill is even greater. The Chiefs lost a Super Bowl with Tyreek Hill and immediately decided, you know what? Protecting Mahomes is more important. And we didn't protect him well enough, and that's why we lost. So we're going to trade Tyreek Hill, and we're going to make sure our offensive line is always good. And since then, they've won a couple Super Bowls. So that's just a lesson, something to think about. Take it home, think about it, discuss it amongst yourselves, write a journal entry.
Green Bay's up and coming, and they got rid of Devontae Adams that same offseason.
Mm-hmm. Caesar, same story, it's on Parag. Yeah. He needs to update his modus operandi. Dave Barclay says, is Parag still dealing contracts? Yes.
Yes.
Brother Bob says, Dave is the real MVP. Fish and chips, too. Now I'm hungry. Jordan Matthews, Steelers doing restructuring today. Trade is coming. It's a few there's a few teams, I think, getting ready to make offers. Doesn't mean the Niners will accept. Dave Barclay says, BB is most valuable content feedback creator. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dave, laugh my ass off. I just got out of my wife's doghouse happy. Adam K says, Grant and Jesse, my 11-year-old is a big fan. Why can't he watch your videos live? He has subscribed to you both. Please give him a shout out. His name is Asim. Asim, I don't know. Why can't he watch? Is it because he's 11?
Yeah, what's up, Asim?
What's up, Asim?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, why can't he watch them live?
I think you can.
Is that because he's asleep? Yeah.
I don't know. I think you got to figure that one out. Fish and chips, stop all the speculation. Get talking about Jimmy G. Dave Barclay, sucks Kyle won't chain. That sucks. Fire Kyle. Dazza says, why not re-sign BA, draft O-line, get rid of Debo? What are we holding on to Debo for? Well, trading him doesn't create a ton of cap space, and it doesn't bring back a big cap. I mean, a draft pick is the word I was looking for. That's the reason.
Yeah.
We have
The same reason you shouldn't have gotten rid of Armstead, but okay, go ahead.
We got to stop at 7 o'clock on the West Coast, but we have at least 3 minutes. So let's do it quick. Someone on social media on Twitter said that Ayuk is a system receiver. Can you explain this?
Yeah, he basically said that Ayuk, and he's not just a random person on Twitter. He writes for, I forget the publication, but he said that Brandon Ayuk on 90% of the teams isn't even a 700-yard receiver. I think he's a Colts. He writes something for the Colts. He said,
Yes.
He said, however, Shane Steichen and the Colts would utilize him properly. He thinks they fit in the 10% where he can perform. I don't know what he's watching. He said he poured through all 3 years of his film, and he believes it's like, okay. I don't believe that at all. I do not. In fact, I think the system is holding him back to a certain extent where it's like, dude, if he just got more targets, he would be a 1,500-yard receiver.
Right.
I don't know how getting him more targets anywhere else makes him a 700-yard receiver. That one I don't understand. No, Brandon Ayuk.
He tried to say that Ayuk couldn't handle double coverage. Like, well, I mean, okay. If you double a receiver, you should throw the ball elsewhere anyway. Like, yeah. Who's throwing into double coverage? Why? When is that a good decision?
Yeah. What? And what are the team? What is your 10%? That's what I'm curious about. Is he not producing with Josh Allen or Justin Herbert?
You could argue that Debo's a system receiver, right?
Correct.
Because Debo can't get himself open. So you have to scheme him open. And who's better at doing that than Kyle? That's the argument you could make.
For sure.
Scheme receiver. It's Debo. Yeah. But Ayuk, I mean, no, Ayuk can essentially beat man-to-man coverage. And if it's one-on-one, he doesn't have a safety, yeah, he's going to win. And if you put a safety over the top, yeah, you should throw elsewhere, obviously. That's any receiver. If Tyreek Hill has a safety over the top, you don't force it. I don't understand that critique. That's kind of silly.
No, I've never heard of that. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
If you double covered him all the time, you'd have less yards. Yeah, but your offense would probably be great if you could do that. I don't know.
I can come up with 10 teams that I think right now he would perform better on than he is in San Francisco. So that's 33% of the league right there. Right there. So, no. I don't understand this one.
People want
his
Emmy Watkins to be. I always compare him to Torrey Holt. He's Torrey Holt. If you gave him Kurt Warner in his prime, it would be dirty. Disgusting. They don't have that here. Brock Purdy's great. It's a little bit more like Jeff Garcia.
But Jeff Garcia was really good. He just doesn't have a strong of an arm. I just think the future with Brock is going to be a lot like what they do with the Chiefs. Tight end, slot receiver, running back.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And some speed on the outside to keep you honest, but not $50 million on the outside. My goodness.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money with Brock. And like, Brock is going to own the middle of the field. You want a great slot receiver. Does he need the best check down? Jimmy needs the best check down running back in the league. But Brock wants to push the ball down the field. I think the days of force feeding McCaffrey the ball in the passing game are done. He catches the ball at the line of scrimmage or a little bit beyond it. Like, what is he going to do?
That's where Ayuk's perfect, though. Those deep digs are, I mean, they're money, dude. It's every game, it's like, how do you see just wide open all the time? It's insane. Okay, before we get out of here, just yes or no. When we talk next Thursday, is Brandon Ayuk on this team? Yes or no?
No.
I'm going to go yes.
All right. Well, I've bet like all of my co-hosts, so I don't really have anything to put on the line right now. But
not trying to bet. Yeah, I'm not trying to put anything on the line. I don't drink wine, so that's not going to work. So,
you drink pop. Fish and Chip says, Jesse, are you a system content creator?
Yes, clearly.
Adam K, there might be some settings you both have on your YouTube channels that restrict content to the younger audience. Might want to check that out. I will.
I don't think so either. If he's on YouTube Kids, we probably would do it automatically, but that's not because of us. That's because YouTube Kids. So,
yep. Dave Barclay, let's bet. Guys, I got to run. Thanks for watching. It's going down tomorrow night. Stay tuned. Ike's getting traded. All right. See you guys.
Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.